Yes, you can start it later. I mean, well, as I said, if you want, you can join the fly on the wall type of option where you can start listening in. It won't be anywhere near as expensive. I think it's going to be something like 1500 per quarter or 2000. I haven't decided the price point on that one. It's a new thing that we wanted to offer for those who want to just have a listen in, check out the vault. Or you can just wait, just go through the phase two and three in more detail, and then join phase four whenever you're ready. And that will be
Yeah, that's the whole point of
that's the
having
5,000 a quarter.
a custom modular system. We want to be able to cater to everyone's needs and wants. And we know that one size doesn't fit everyone, and one timeline doesn't fit everyone. So this allows you to do it all in one hit, or break it up into many years, or to just do little bits that interest you and leave all the bits that don't.
All right, so you can join phase four at any time. It's only those who want to fast track and join in January, and if they want to save, $500 a quarter, they can lock that in. But you can join phase four at any whenever you're ready, and so that's the idea. All righty, yep. Any other questions before we move on? All right,
All
let's
right.
continue. Oh, what's the next?
So I, in my share option,
Oh,
I
I said we got
don't,
to record, right? No, sorry.
in the share option on Zoom, I don't have any option to optimize sound or video.
I don't know why I couldn't either. It's really
It's like
weird.
I'm blocked out from it.
Is that maybe because aren't you a host? I mean, I can't even. Normally you can. It's really weird. It's the first time I've seen that option.
So I
Well,
don't
you can play
have.
some videos there.
Like, there's option there, but I can't click on it.
I know, I know. Yeah,
All
I'm
right.
not sure why.
All
Do
right. So the next
you have to play
lecture,
videos?
yes, I have to play
Oh
videos.
gosh. All right, let's just try it out and then we might take a 5 minute break as I check the settings. Because apparently my video wasn't very good.
All right. Are you ready for me to play?
Yep, just play and we'll see how it.
All right, so this is it's just basically me adjusting some wires and running through to help you understand some of the things. So we went through the wire adjustments for the clasps on the 2-day introduction, so you've got those videos. But now I'm doing some adjustments to the cat wires, which is how we get the front teeth straightened and aligned. Is there any sound coming through?
No sound, but like it's pretty smooth.
But there's no sound, right?
Is there supposed to be sound?
Yes.
That is
All
really
right,
weird.
anyway, I'll talk it through.
Yep.
So what I'm doing is I'm checking the fit. I'm making sure that everything is snugging correctly. So all the wires are sitting tight against all the teeth. All right. These appliances only work when they're touching something. So what I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to activate these cat wires. So I want to bring the wire forward a little bit and out a little bit. And I want to use my pliers to bring the wires down. So I'm trying to advance the wire at this point. You can see they were lined up together initially, but now I'm bringing both wires forward. And my goal is to bring it forward about the thickness of a wire. All right, so now I've got a new position that the wire is compared to the old position. And I'm trying to make sure that the wires touch all four front teeth evenly. Now, not every wire is going to touch every tooth like in the beginning, but I want at least every tooth in contact with part of the wire. So when I fit it back in, you can see the wire springs back into the original position. So I know that when I've brought those wires forward, they will activate about the thickness of the wire. So what I'm doing now is I'm just bending everything back, because anything that you bend in, you can re-bend back out again. So I mostly use a bird beak plier, and you'll see now I've just bent everything back to where it was at the beginning. So if I want to advance those teeth, then I change the shape of the wire. It literally is lingual braces, right? The concept behind lingual braces. Whatever shape that I make the wire is whatever shape the teeth will be pushed into. Right, I bend it out a little bit. If I want more of the wires to touch, if I want to touch three of the wires, I'll bend it out towards the end of where the wire comes closest to the acrylic. So I'm bending it out, and then I'm thinking, do I want the thickness of one wire or half a wire? Right? A child might find the pressure of one wire thickness too much, so you might go half a wire. So this is about half a wire. And I'm thinking, okay, no, I want a full wire. Can you see how now there's a full wire difference compared to where it was? And this will now apply pressure to three of the incisors, three out of the four incisors. When I push it back in, the spring goes back, but there's still tension in that wire. So I might do the same with the top wire now. So I bring it out at the elbow of that wire. I bring it out more than I need. And then a bit further up, I'll bend it down back into a line to where I want it to be, which is about the thickness of one wire in front of where it used to be. So I set one wire at a time, so I've got a reference point of where I want to be relative to the original position. You'll see now I've got pressure on that top wire, only one to two teeth, but not all three. So I might have to adjust it a little bit more to get a better form to it. And now I'm just bending it all back to zero again, because this is actually an appliance for a kid that I have to fit in at some point in time. I've just been playing around with the shape. So as I bend it out, sometimes I distort the angle, so I've got to bend it back into place. So all the points that I adjusted, I've got to readjust. And that's part of the learning process, to kind of shape change and then to return back to the original shape. Once you get the hang of that, all right, and you get to assess what's touching, what's not, then you learn how to manipulate the wires to do what you want. And when I'm back to where I started, every point should touch every point without undue pressure on the teeth. Now, there are two types of instruments that you can use, the bird beak and the three-prong plier, which kind of creates bends in wires, but they tend to be more permanent style bends. When you do small adjustments like this, you can, so long as you don't deform the wire past a certain point, you can bend it back and forth as many times as you like. So now we're back to the original shape that we started with, or very close to it. Normally, the lab will return the appliance to you with everything fairly well conforming. Now, there is times when we have to do what we call an intrusion of the teeth, right? We want to intrude the teeth. So instead of pushing everything forward in a tipping action, we want to try to intrude the teeth. And in which case, we have to bend the wire vertically down. But if we just bend it at the elbow, you end up with lots of pressure on that end part, but no pressure on the middle or the back part, that wire. So you have to do multi bends, right? So you intrude the wire a little bit, and then you've got to bend it back up in the middle. Because our goal is to drop that wa both wires down about the thickness of a wire as uniformly as possible. So you can see that it's about the right amount near the acrylic, but it's too divergent, far too divergent, at the loop end. Here we're trying to unravel the wire. I used to teach everyone to do to have extra wire built in, right? As the plate expands, this is how I hold the appliance, right? So thumb and first finger, and two fingers, and then the little pinky down the bottom. So that's how I hold my instruments. I always build in extra wire because when I expand, I run out of wire. So I've taught myself to unravel this wire to use. I found, despite these videos training my students, they all failed miserably at unraveling this wire. So I've recommended for the time being that they don't. But this is how I unravel the wire. I first open up the wire, and then I put the square end at the bend and I squeeze. And I squeeze it together, and the square end will force that curve straight. And then now I've got more wire to work with. So if the appliance has expanded, say 3 or 4 mils, and I want more control, I'll unravel that wire. If you don't have the wire, it just means that you're just going to need to pay for a new appliance a bit earlier. But if you can't bend that, if you can't control the wire, you just make a dog's breakfast out of it, and then it's useless to you. Why would I want extra wire? Well, if I'm expanding, I want still to be able to control the incisors. And I keep squeezing the flat end against the wire, and you'll see I've got a nice piece of straight wire now that I can manipulate to adjust the position of incisors or canines that are erupting or anything I want. And so I've been able to take a curved bit of wire that's short and lengthen it out, so that I've got more wire to play with. So as I expand out, The wire gets relatively shorter compared to the width of the arch, and so I unravel it. But in the case of beginners, because you guys actually don't know how to control the wire, I recommended the lab just build you a straight end and you just use it the best you can. So now we're intruding the wires down. But it's got to be an up bend in the middle so that it runs parallel. And a down bend because the end of that wire flicks up. So you have to kind of get even pressure on all the incisors that you want. If they cross over, you just keep bending and rebending until you get the shape that applies the pressure that you want on each of the teeth that you want put pressure on. The goal is always to have wire in contact with the teeth. So that loop end is fine when the appliance is contracted, but when the appliance is expanded, that end piece becomes an obstacle, so you have to unravel it. Again, I open up the end by twisting it. Then I put the flat square end on the inside of the elbow. And then when I squeeze, it will flatten out the curve. We adjust the wire so it runs parallel again. We round it off so that it fits in the right place. And so we've unraveled the loop, we've flattened it out, we've adjusted it. So this is part of the skill sets that you're going to need to be able to create not only the transverse widths, but to align the incisors as well. Now, some people never develop these skills. Other people develop it with practice. For those who never develop the skills, you don't have to bend the wire. What you will have to do instead is you'll have to bracket the front teeth, and then you'll use the brackets and arch wire buccally to straighten the incisors, and you're just creating transverse development on the lingually with the appliance. With me, I've developed enough skills that I have very good control of the wires, and it's very rare that I need to use brackets to straighten teeth because I can use the wires to do that for The torque control that I have with these wires is many fold better than with brackets. So brackets are good at getting the teeth roughly in line, but the torque control in brackets is very poor. This tends to have immensely good torque control. Root torque control, these wires. When you intrude these wires, it brings roots labially forward. So you do, if you want to be able to maximize the control of those incisors, you have to kind of learn these the skills that I'm showing you now. So I messed up that wire, cut it in half and manipulated it, and it still fits evenly across because I'm used to manipulating wire to fit the curvature of teeth. And that's just practice. So this is something that we'll get you guys to do on the workshop days. All right. So I've been able to get the appliance all the way down, fully seated, despite kind of playing wet spaghetti with the wires. Maybe there's no sound to these. I don't know. Okay, so this is a sagittal and transverse appliance. You can see we've got fours and sixes with no space for the fives. So normally I will be expanding, I'll be distalizing the sixes first before I do any expansion. In this scenario, I'm just trying to make sure that we've got the wires fitting well against each part of the pallet. So we're sitting at the wires on the cingulum of those incisors. There's that little ledge, and that ledge is important if you want to intrude the teeth. Although generally intrusion forces just torque the roots forward, which is the benefit because tipping is easy, but torque is hard. But with these wires, torque is actually really easy. So palatally erupting laterals, which are a nightmare to correct, are really easy to correct with these appliances. In this case, I think I'm advancing, so I'm bending it at the point that's close to the acrylic. And now I've got the thickness of a wire forward and the thickness of a wire forward. So you have to overbend slightly because there's spring back. All right, so we're tipping those teeth forward in this scenario. So we use one stationary point as a reference. So there'll be a little bit of spring effect. So you can't advance it any more than one thickness of a wire, or you'll never get it to sit back in properly. All right. Generally, you'll only get two or three teeth in the new contacts. That's why you have two wires. One wire does one side, one wire does the other side. So that wire was sticking up a bit, so I'm bending it down so that it's closer to contacting the teeth. We want all the teeth in contact with wires or acrylic. All right, so we want that forward onto that tooth, forward and down. I want to intrude, I'm bringing the wire down a thickness of the wire. So I'm intruding it up palatally in this case. All right, this is when I want to improve the root torque. So we do the thickness of one side. And there'll be some resistance for it seating down. And so all that pressure goes up. And the reality is you can never really intrude teeth. So all it will do is it will drive a vector of force up the root and the root will come forward buccally. So I'm actually doing intrusion to improve root torque. Once I've done one wire, I'll do the other wire so that they're both stacked on top of each other again. And you can do a combination of both. You can advance and intrude simultaneously. I never recommend doing multiple movements in the beginning because it's very easy to distort the wire to a point where you can't fit it back down. And then now I'm just fine-tuning the wires so that as much of the wire contacts as many teeth as possible. And so that intrusion force ends up putting force up the root, and the root actually ends up coming forward. The reality of what we do is we end up tipping the teeth as we expand. And then we want torque control by intruding the wires at a later point in the treatment. And so every time we put the plate back in, we're trying to figure out where are the wires sitting. Are we putting undue pressure on one tooth? Do we want to put undue pressure on one tooth? Is that the plan, or is it just a byproduct of our bending the wire poorly? Do we want all the wires touching all the teeth, or do we just want selective placement of wire pressure? All right, sometimes you get one tooth that's completely out of alignment and three teeth that are in good alignment. So you'll just want wires to maintain one position and wires to activate another position. So that's actually how I get teeth straight without braces. All right, so that ends cat wire activation. I'm sure there was sound originally, but I'm not sure why it didn't play. But anyway, I've
So you couldn't hear it as well?
no.
All right, it doesn't matter.